We're going to leave our series from 1 Samuel just for today, and we're going to go to Galatians chapter number 5. All right, Galatians, and you can grab chapter 5. Today is Independence Day. Does anybody need a handout? If you did not receive one of these, would you lift your hand up real high? Our ushers would be glad to give you one. Anybody need a handout? Just lift your hand up if you did not receive one. I'm going to need a little bit more, guys. All right. Today is Independence Day. We call it the 4th of July. And it is a federal holiday commemorating the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July the 4th, 1776, which that document declared our independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain. What an incredible and a wonderful day that was in history. And I know that every person in here is thankful for the freedom that we enjoy nationally. It's a great, great blessing and it's a great privilege. I read a quote from John Adams, our second president, who was part of that group that framed the Declaration of Independence. And John Adams was writing to his wife Abigail during that time period, and they saw the letter and it's recorded. Here's what he wrote. He said, "This will be the most memorable epic in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows and games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore." Boy, he got it right, didn't he? That's exactly what has happened. He only was off 2 days, though. He actually, when he wrote to her, he said it was the 2nd of July that would be commemorated. And the reason why he thought it would be the 2nd of July is because it was on the 2nd of July that our leaders got together and they officially voted on the resolution that we become our own country, that we be free. And so they came up with that resolution of independence on July the 2nd. They voted on it and it was approved. And then they decided that they would have a written document declaring our independence to explain their decision on the 2nd of July. And that's where the Declaration of Independence comes from. They framed it, and it was dated the 4th of July. So John Adams thought the 2nd of July would be the day that we celebrate, but it ended up now being the 4th of July. But what a blessing and what a privilege it is. Aren't you thankful for the freedom that we have? Amen. It's such a blessing. But did you know that for the believer in Jesus Christ, did you know there's a greater Independence Day? Say, what's that? In your handout, it says it's when Jesus Christ took our sins upon Himself on the cross and paid for them in full. That is the believer's Independence Day. That's the day when we were liberated and we were set free, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every believer should celebrate our spiritual Independence Day. And by the way, that's what the book of Galatians is all about. I guess if there was a book in the Bible, Pastor Larry, that we would call our Declaration of Independence, it would be the book of Galatians. It is our Declaration of Independence. I guess you could kind of sum it up in Galatians 5:1. If you look at chapter 5, verse 1, this kind of sums up the theme of the book. And that's why I call it our Declaration of Independence. It says in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast." That means to stand firm. Don't budge an inch. "Stand fast, therefore." Now notice the words here and say them with me. "Stand fast, therefore," in the what? There's that word, liberty. "Liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us," say it, church, "free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of..." The book of Galatians is our Declaration of Independence. That's what the book of Galatians is all about. You see, here's why. There were religious teachers that were infiltrating the churches of Galatia. And what they were doing is they were attempting to come and bring the believers into bondage. They wanted to bring them back into bondage. And so Paul says, stand fast, stand firm, don't budge an inch, don't give in to them. Well, you know, you think about our country, you think about the history, And there have been countries and dictators throughout our 200 plus year history that would seek to try to bring America back into bondage, back under some type of tyranny. And praise the Lord for people throughout the last 200 years who stood up and said, no, we are not going to allow you to strip us of our freedom, to strip us of our liberty. We are a free country and we're going to stay a free country. Aren't you thankful for people who stood up for our liberty that we have? But you know, while there are people who didn't want us to remain free, and there are people still today that don't want America to be free, did you know there were people infiltrating these churches that didn't like the fact that these believers were free? And they wanted to bring them back into bondage. Paul says, no, sir, you stand firm, you stand fast, you celebrate the liberty and the freedom that you have in Christ. And don't let anybody keep you from celebrating that freedom that you have in Christ. Why was Paul so adamant about celebrating our freedom and our liberty and our independence that we have in Christ? Number one is because our Independence Day means freedom from our sins. Our Independence Day, meaning the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, means freedom from our sins. I want you to go over to chapter 1, if you would. Flip back over. We're going to be all over the book of Galatians, so get used to that. We'll be turning around there, okay? There's a song, maybe some of you know it. It goes like this. Oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. We have been delivered from this evil world and we have been seated in heavenly places. And do you know why that's true? Look at chapter 1, verse 4. And notice the very first word is who. The who in the context is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. Now look at this. That he might, and what's the next two words? Deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He gave himself for our sins. There are two thoughts I want to give you about what Christ did on the cross. Number one, in your handout, his sacrifice was voluntary. Nobody made him do it. In other words, look at the screen. John 10:18. Look what Jesus said before he went to the cross. Jesus made this statement in John 10:18. He said, no man taketh it, that's speaking of his life. No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of what? Myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So nobody made Jesus Christ. He didn't die as a martyr. He wasn't murdered. No, he said, I can call 12 legions of angels and they could come and deliver me. He said, I am going to willingly lay down my life for the world. But then the second thought there is this. His sacrifice was not only voluntary, it was given out of love. It was given out of love. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2. Chapter 2, let's hear those pages rustling. Chapter 2, look at verse number 20. Chapter 2, verse 20, famous verse. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now here's what I want to focus on. Who what? Who loved me, and because he loved me, what did he do? He gave himself for me. Remember it said he gave himself for our sins, chapter 1? Chapter 2 tells you why he did it. The Bible says he loved us and he gave himself for us. He didn't die on the cross grudgingly. He didn't die with a bad attitude. Well, I guess I better die for them sinners. Have you ever done something and you did it, but you weren't happy about it? You ever do things that way? Come on, guys. Your wife ever asked you to do something and you don't want a big fight, so you go ahead and do it. But you're not happy about doing it, guys. You ever ask your kids to do something and they do it, but they're not happy about it? Let's mow the grass. And my boys go, sure, Dad. Let's go. Yeah, come on. And they'll do it, but you can tell they're not thrilled about it. Is that how Christ went to the cross? Yes or no?
No.
Jesus Christ went to the cross, the Bible says, willingly. He went voluntarily. He went out of love. He gave himself, but why? For our sins. Now, is God a holy God, yes or no? Yeah, he's holy, which means that he cannot condone sin. He can't just sweep it under the rug and act like it's not there, you know, turn the other way and just act like that it really doesn't exist. No, God sees my sin, and God cannot condone my sin. It must be judged. It must be dealt with. My sin had me bound. My sin had me condemned. Sin must be judged. Sin must be paid for. What is the penalty for sin? Yeah, it's death. For the wages of sin is death. And that isn't just talking about physical death. Yes, because there's sin in the world, and because we sin, we are going to die physically. We're all going to die, and our bodies are going to, you know, go back to dust, and they're either going to be cremated or buried or whatever. But we're all going to die, and that's because of sin. But the Bible teaches that you have a soul and a spirit inside your body that animates your body. It's your soul and spirit that gives your body life. And your soul and your spirit also have a death to die. The Bible calls it the second death. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation 20 that whoever's not found written in the book of life in heaven, the Bible says, is cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The Bible teaches that our first death is when our body dies. The second death is when our soul and spirit is separated from God forever in the lake of fire. That's the second death. The wages of sin is death. God is a God of justice, but aren't you glad He's also a God of love? And so you know what God did? I want you to imagine for me a judge. And this judge is standing up there, up on the, you know, the platform, and he's got the big desk and he's got the gavel, and the judge is up there, and there's somebody standing before that judge that he cares about very deeply and he loves very much. But that person's committed an offense against the law. And the fine is $5,000, or boom, you're going to jail. And that person doesn't have the $5,000. Now, let me ask you a question. If he's a good judge, is he just going to let that person go free? Or if he's a good judge, is he going to level the proper penalty? What's he going to do? He's got to bring the penalty. That's right. Or he's not a good judge. He can't just let him go free and then condemn others. That wouldn't be fair. So he's going to have to bring down the penalty of the law. But I want you to imagine for me him declaring guilt, him bringing down the sentence on that person, but then the judge backing up, stepping down off of that platform behind his desk, going over and paying that person's $5,000 fine so they could go free. The judge has been just, but the person can go free because the judge paid the penalty. Did you know that's what God did for you and I? God left the throne room of heaven, and He came down to this earth. And in your handout there, it says that God came down to this earth and He paid our sin debt for us on the cross. Did Jesus owe the debt? Yes or no? Who owed the debt? But He paid it for us. Would you agree with me? That's a lot of love right there, isn't it? When the sinner comes and puts their faith in Jesus Christ, when we accept Him as our Savior, a complete change of identity occurs. Our freedom from sin means deliverance. You see, just as our country was delivered from the bondage of England, Christ delivered us from this present evil world. We read in chapter 1, verse 4. Now, what does that mean, this present evil world? Well, Satan is called the god of this world. That means that Satan has set up a policy of evil on this earth, and this world system is corrupt at its roots because Satan established it. The world system that he's established is deserving of God's wrath and God's judgment, and the world is racing 100 miles per hour towards God's judgment and wrath. We are living in Satan's world system. Now, we live in a world of godlessness and crime and violence and blasphemy and lust and sin and wickedness and dishonesty and a disregard for God and for God's moral law. But we can rest assured, payday is coming for this world system. God is going to bring wrath upon it, and God is going to bring judgment upon it. But those who have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, we and what He did on the cross, we have been delivered, the Bible said, from this present evil world, which means we've also been delivered from the wrath that God's going to bring on the world. But that's only part of the good news. You see, not only have I been delivered from this world system, but I want you to look at a verse on the screen and notice, not only have I been delivered from this evil world, but it says that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. That's this world, okay? But then it says, He has translated us into the what? Kingdom of His dear Son. So that means I've been delivered from one kingdom that God's going to bring His wrath on, but I've been delivered from that and I've been placed into another kingdom. I've been placed into the kingdom of His dear Son. It's kind of like America. We were delivered from one country. Okay, we're delivered from England. But then our identity changed. We became a new nation. We became a new identity. We became the United States of America. So we're delivered from one kingdom, but then we established a country of our own. And if you're saved today, you've been delivered from your sins. You've been delivered from the present evil world, and you've been placed in Christ's heavenly kingdom. Amen, church? That's good news, isn't it? You see, the cross is our Independence Day because it sets us free from our sins. It sets us free from this present evil world. But number two, we need to celebrate our Independence Day at the cross because our Independence Day means freedom from the law. That's the second thing I want you to get. It brings freedom from the law. Now, there were religious teachers that had infiltrated these churches of Galatia, and they're bringing in false doctrine, you know, and what they were basically doing is, here's what they were teaching. Stay with me here. They're teaching believers that, okay, you've accepted Jesus, great. But in order to stay saved, you're going to have to keep the Old Testament law system that God gave to Israel through Moses. Go to chapter 2, verse 4. I want to show you this. And notice what Paul says here, chapter 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into, did you see that? They wanted to bring them into what? Into bondage. They wanted to bring them under the bondage of the law. Now let me explain that real quick. The law, in your handout, it says the law consisted of over 600 commands. It expressed in writing the righteousness of God. And so God gave the law to express His righteous, holy character. God said, okay, you want to know what to do and you want to know what my laws are? Here they are. He had Moses put them down in writing, and there were over 600 of them. Now, within those 600 was what we call the Ten Commandments. We're familiar with that expression, the Ten Commandments. I don't know how many of you can quote, but within the 600 were what we call the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. Now, let me ask you a question. How many people in history do you think have kept those 600 commands? Well, yeah, only one, Jesus Christ. But other than Christ, how many have kept them? You say, well, I don't know. I think I've done pretty well. Well, let's just take one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not lie. You've done pretty well, huh? How many times do I have to kill somebody to be a murderer? I don't got to kill one person. Only one. And I'm a murderer. How many times do I have to lie to be a liar? Don't answer out loud, but you ever steal anything? You ever take something that didn't belong to you? No, think hard. You borrowed something, never returned it. A library book you never took back. Money you took from the waitress or from someone else and you just didn't return it. Something you took from the office and never gave back. Or maybe you knowingly took something and you just stole it. How many times do I got to steal to be a thief? Only once. Bible says that liars and thieves will not have any part in God's kingdom. Bible says liars and thieves are found in the lake of fire. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. If I only got to lie once, I'm a liar. If I only got to steal once, I'm a thief. Hey, how many times do I have to take God's name in vain to be a blasphemer? Just once. I've done that. I've taken God's name in vain. I've lied. I've stolen. Whoa, wait a minute. That makes me a lying, thief, and blasphemer. Doesn't sound too good, does it? Sounds like to me the law that God gave, does it show me to be innocent or guilty? Guilty. If God judges you by His law, and we only took 3 of the 10 commandments, we didn't even talk about envy, and jealousy, and coveting. We didn't talk about idolatry. We didn't talk about disobeying your parents. We didn't even talk about the commandment that thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus said when you have adulterous thoughts, it's the same as committing the act because God sees your heart. We didn't even talk about any of those. You say you just did. Well, you know what I mean. We didn't elaborate. So we only took like 3 of the 10 commandments and we come up short on those. Well, then that means how many of us are guilty? We're all guilty. That's why Peter and Paul both said they called the law of God a yoke of bondage. Now, there were religious teachers that were placing all these religious rules on these people, and nobody could keep the rules. These religious teachers came in, and they created this impossible standard. So Paul writes to them this Declaration of Independence, and he reminds them, hey, Jesus Christ delivered us from the bondage of the law. How did He do it? Jesus Christ kept the law. He never disobeyed. He said, I came to fulfill the law in every jot, in every tittle. He was born of a virgin. He didn't have our sin nature. And Jesus Christ never sinned one time. He never disobeyed God one time. And then the Bible says that when He went to the cross and they nailed Him to the cross, well, because He was the Word incarnate, because He was the living embodiment of God's law, when they nailed Him to the cross, guess what? They nailed the law to the cross. So in your handout, it says there that Christ nailed it to the cross. He kept the law fully, and then He nailed it to the cross. You see, the cross is our Independence Day. We've been set free from the law. Now, that doesn't mean we're lawless. That doesn't mean there's not any commands for us to obey. Sure, there is. But now I walk with God not on the basis of a set of rules. I don't walk with God on the basis of a set of laws. But in your handout, it says, I can now walk with God on the basis of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, if you'll flip over there, Galatians 2, look at verse 19. Let's look at a few verses. Galatians 2:19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. You see, I've been delivered from the law, now I can live unto God. Look over at chapter number 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Look down at verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto who? Christ. See, to show us our guilt so we'd turn to Jesus. That we might be justified by what? No, not by your works. We've already established you've come up short there. It's by your faith in Jesus Christ. But then look at verse 25. But after that faith has come, after you put your faith in Jesus, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Well, why? Why is it I don't need the law anymore? Go to chapter 4 and look at verse number 4 and 5. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of what? Sons. Okay, now I get it. I'm delivered from the law, but I've been brought into the family of God. So now I no longer have to live by law. Man, I'm part of the family. I can live by a daily walk and a faith in Jesus Christ. It's kind of like my three sons that I have. You see, my three sons, there are things that my sons do because they are my sons. But they don't do those. I don't give them a list of things to do in order to become my sons. There are things they do because they're my sons, but I don't give them a list of things to do in order to become my son. And it's the same way with us. There is not a list of things that you have to do to become a child of God. It's just your faith alone, resting in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. But then there are things that I do unto God because I am part of the family, because I am a child of God. There are things that I want to do for my Father in heaven and for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, that goes to chapter 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons. See that? He didn't say we keep the law in order to become a son. No, no, no. I'm saved by faith in verse 6 because you're sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You see, in your handout, it says we've been given something better than the law. We've been given God's very Spirit to indwell us. Woo! Amen. I got something better than a list of rules. I got Jesus Himself living inside me. I got the Holy Spirit of God. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse number 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit... See, I got God's Spirit now. I can be led of the Spirit. Ye are not under the what? The law. You know what these people were doing? These guys that had come in to spy out their liberty, to bring them into bondage. Paul says, you know what these people are doing? They are trying to bring you back under the Old Testament law system and lead you away from a personal walk with Jesus Christ. And Paul says, no, don't let them do it. Stand fast. Stand firm. Don't budge an inch. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You see, religion is all about trying to keep people bound to its rituals and bound to its religious rules and bound to its requirements. And you're accepted in religion based on how well you keep the list of rules. Paul says, no, they're trying to put you into bondage. The Christian life is not about religious externals. It is about an internal relationship and a walk by faith with Jesus Christ. So he says, you don't have to earn God's acceptance. No, I have His acceptance in Christ. And I can walk with Him on that basis. I have God's acceptance in Christ. I'm part of His family. He's put His Spirit into my heart. And now I can walk with Him on that basis, not on the basis of a laundry list of religious rules. But then the third thing about our Independence Day at the cross is this. Our Independence Day at the cross means freedom from fleshly lusts. The cross is our Independence Day, but part of that independence means freedom from our own selfish and sinful pursuits. And now we can live unto Christ. Look in your handout, 2 Corinthians 5:15. Paul said, and that He died for all. Christ died for all. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. In your handout, it says, no longer do I have to live in bondage to my own selfish desires. No longer do I have to live with the miserable mentality that it's all about me. And man, let me tell you something, a life without Christ, that's all it is, man. It's all about me. And because of the cross, I don't have to live that way. I've lived that way. But because of the cross, I don't have to live that way. I'm free. I'm free from that selfish mentality. I'm free to serve others. I'm free to live for others. I'm free to forgive others. Man, what an inward joy that kind of life brings. We are free to love people. Amen. In chapter 5, look there at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. See how these words keep popping up throughout this book? Liberty and free. And he says, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, notice, serve one another. Christ has set me free to love. So now I want to serve my wife. I want to be able to serve others. That's where joy comes from. Christ has set me free from the penalty of my sins. That was point number one. Christ has set me free from the bondage of the law. Praise the Lord for that. That was point number two. But you know what this third point's all about? Christ has set me free from me. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Many times we're our own worst enemy. Amen. Our self-centeredness causes contention in our relationships. And man, we get all out of sorts and all bitter. And we get so mad. And self-centeredness causes problems in our marriage. I mean, you get two self-centered people together, and boy, doesn't that make for a happy marriage. You get two self-centered people living under the same roof, and boy, that's just a recipe for real joy, isn't it? No, that's World War III, right? And you see, the cross sets me free from that. The cross, you see, our self-centeredness causes friction in our relationships. It causes us to indulge in fleshly lust and fleshly desires. They do nothing but bring us into bondage and misery. You know, when we're self-centered, it causes pride and arrogance. It brings unforgiveness, and we harbor bitterness, and it just destroys us from within. But the cross sets us free from all that. Because of Christ's finished work, He's given His very Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And you know what happens when I yield to the Holy Spirit inside of me? You know what happens when I just walk in the Spirit? All that means is to yield to the Holy Spirit inside of me. When I let Him take over and run my life instead of me trying to run it, look at chapter 5, verse 16, and notice what the result is. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Man, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit run my life instead of me. He says, when I walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the what? Yes, He sets me free from me. He sets me free from the self-centered misery of verses 19 and 20. Look down there. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Boy, isn't this a list. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. I cringe every time I hear a Christian say, I hate so-and-so. I hate them. Oh, I just cringe. Because you know what? That's not a mark of God's Holy Spirit. That's a mark of the flesh. That's a mark of self-centeredness. It's about me. No, He says, you know what? That's a work of the flesh, hatred. He says there, look at the list there. He says hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. He says, you know what? That's what the flesh produces. And that's a recipe for self-centered misery. And that's why Galatians 5:24, look at verse 24. It says, and look at it now, look at it. And they that are Christ, do you belong to Jesus? It says, they have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Let me ask you a question. Can I choose to bring myself back into the bondage of my fleshly lust, yes or no? Well, sure I can. I can make a choice and I can submit myself to fleshly lust if I want to. But do I have to now that I'm saved? No. I've been set free. I can walk in the Spirit. Look at verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, in other words, if you've got the Holy Spirit in your life, well, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, what does that produce? Look down at verse 22. How's that list look? That looks a little better, doesn't it? Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, when I'm letting the Holy Spirit run my life, there's love. Man, I love people. That's a whole lot better than hatred. Joy, that's a whole lot better than misery. Peace, there's a peace that anchors my life. There's an internal peace. Long-suffering, man, I got a long fuse. I'm not always just pow, quick to bite someone's head off. Long-suffering, ooh, that's nice. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He says, man, that's what you get. When you walk in the Spirit, that's what Christ has set you free to enjoy right there, that list. You know, when our forefathers carved out the Declaration of Independence right in that July 2nd, 3rd, 4th time period, when they carved out that Declaration of Independence, you know what? They could have made a decision. we're going to go back under the bondage and tyranny of England. But they said, nah, we don't think so. We kind of like the liberty we've got. We like the freedom we have. And they made a decision. We will stand fast in the liberty that has set us free. And we're not going to budge an inch. And today I'm happy to be able to tell you, spiritual liberty was won for you 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus Christ. Freedom from our sin, freedom from the law, freedom from our own fleshly lust. But in your handout it says each person must make a decision whether or not to walk in that freedom or to allow Satan to bring you into bondage. And my advice is what Paul said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Let's go to God in prayer right now. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. Did I miss a blank there? Oh, okay, yeah, that second to last blank is the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sorry, I missed that. The fruit of the Spirit is that second to last blank. I can now live a different way. My life can be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you are glad that Christ has set us free? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've been set free. Let's walk and let's celebrate the freedom we have in Christ. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder how many of you this morning are here and you'd say, Pastor Dan, I know that I've been set free from my sin. And I know that I'm a child of God. I know I'm part of the family of God. I have no doubt about it. And if I were to die today, I know I'd be with Him in heaven. I am very, very sure of that. How many of you are 100% sure of that? That you know you're part of the family of God? You know that if you died today, you'd be with Him in heaven. How many of you are 100% sure of that? If you are, just kind of lift your hand up quietly as a testimony and put it right back down. Thank you. And is there anyone who would say, Pastor Dan, I am not 100% sure that I'm part of the family of God. I'm not 100% sure that if I die today, I go to heaven. Friend, I know exactly how you feel. And if you're like me, the back of your neck's kind of warm right now and you feel uncomfortable and you feel maybe the palms of your hands are sweaty and you feel very nervous right now, and what that is that's the Holy Spirit convicting you. That's the Holy Spirit letting you know that you need to be saved. You need to come to Jesus. And I know because I felt that. I know exactly how that feels. And I wonder how many of you right now are here with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. You'd say, Pastor Dan, I'm not sure if I died today, I go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm part of the family of God. You know, you talked about eternal death and our soul and spirit being separated from God forever. I don't want that. Pastor Dan, I want to know I'm going to heaven, but I'm not 100% sure. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand up as just a, yes, thank you. Lift it right up. Thank you. I see your hand, your hand. I see your hand. I see yours. Thank you. You can put it right back down. I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor Dan. Anyone else? You'd say, pray for me. Just by the uplifted hand, you're saying, pray for me. I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven. Anybody else? You'd lift up your hand and put it right back down. Anyone else? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anybody else that needs prayer? Thank you so much. Anyone else? Christians, please be praying. All right, let's pray right now. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for the liberty that we have in Christ, the freedom we have, and what a blessing that is. May we walk in the freedom that we have in Christ. So, Father, thank you for your word today, and I pray that you'll do a wonderful work now through it, and pray for those who lifted their hands. They're not sure they're saved today, that they'll get that settled and they'll know that they're saved. Lord, we love you so much, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for our Independence Day that happened at the cross. We love you so much and pray this in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and with